Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, perhaps we can finish up the works of the flesh today, which would be wonderful. It's really not a very uplifting subject, but it is a very important one. And Paul lists these works of the flesh in Galatians 5:19 through 21 before he gives us the wonderful ninefold fruit of the Spirit. And he says in verse 19, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like." Which tells us that this is not a comprehensive list. It is a very instructive list, and there are a lot of items on it, but there are more that he could have listed and didn't, and yet I'm confident that if the list were twice as long, it wouldn't include everything. And so he names these things, and then he says, "and the like," indicating that there are other things like this that are not on this list. And he says, "of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Those who practice, not those who stumble into occasionally, like David, who fell into adultery, though he was God's child, and he repented of it, and was restored to the joy of his salvation. And that is the evidence that he was truly God's child. He didn't continue to live in sexual uncleanness, but he repented of it and made things right with God. And that's the way God's children will do. We cannot practice such things. And those who practice them in an ongoing, habitual way, this is what characterizes their life. This is what identifies them. When you find a person like that, no matter what he professes, though he may profess to be a Christian, and many of these people do, though he may point to a time when he raised his hand or walked an aisle and prayed a prayer and asked Jesus into his heart or whatever it may be, but that is no evidence that a person is a Christian. A changed life is the evidence that a person is truly a child of God. And those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And with that in mind, we come back to that third category, corrupted relationships, and we say, "Oh me," because this list will hit us all. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. We talked about that on the broadcast yesterday, but selfish ambitions. I wonder how much of the wrangling and division and rivalries that we find in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ can be chalked up to selfish ambitions. How many divisions within local churches are really the selfish ambitions of different factions warring against another in order to gain the upper hand, in order to find the position of preeminence, in order to be able to lead the church, to have authority and leadership in the church beyond that which has been given to them by God. I wonder how many of the factions and rivalries that have split churches and started new churches, that have started new schools and started new denominations, and the wrangling and warring that goes on in the body of Christ, I wonder how much of that can be chalked up to selfish ambition. In many cases, only God knows, because only God knows the heart, But where that is the cause, then God does know. And this is a manifestation of the works of the flesh, not a noble standing for truth and righteousness, but rather sinful, degrading, deplorable, selfish ambition. The next word is dissensions. And so we're beginning to have some overlapping here. Dissensions, which means divisions, schisms, disunity, rebellion, seditions, the kind of thing that I was just talking about, church splits, divisions between various groups and operations and organizations within the body of Christ, dissensions. That's a work of the flesh. Now, I am not suggesting that there should never, ever be any divisions, because actually there are times where there should. I'm not suggesting that all church splits are caused by sin. I'm not suggesting that all new schools and new denominations and starting over are caused by sin. I'm confident that many of these were a broken-hearted but God-honoring, noble effort to put heresy and apostasy behind and to start over with a Bible-based church, a Bible-based organization, a Bible-based school, a Bible-based fellowship of believers. Many times this has been necessary because of apostasy, because of churches and denominations that once stood for the faith and once believed the gospel that have departed from it, shamefully so, have compromised the Word of God so thoroughly that the only choice for decent, God-fearing, Bible-believing people was to get out and start all over. I'm confident of that. I believe in that. And I recognize that sometimes that is exactly necessary. But not all church splits have such a noble cause. Not all wranglings and divisions and fighting among groups have such a noble cause. Many of them can be traced to selfish ambitions. Many of them can be traced to carnal dissensions. And that brings us, therefore, to the next word, which is heresies. And we generally attach a doctrinal definition to the word heresy, but again, the Greek word means divisions, factions, parties, camps, sects. The fundamental idea of this Greek word is choice. And therefore, in the beginning, it simply means a body of people who have chosen the same faith, the same way of life. It's used that way in Acts 5:17. But there is a bad sense in which it means a faction, a party alien to the church. Generally, we think of heresy as being a false doctrine. And indeed, many times, false doctrines come in, and the Bible warns about it. And we have two tendencies, I think, within Bible-believing Christianity. On the one hand, we have a tendency of some people to just be unwilling to recognize that there is such a thing as heresy, or to always deal with it only in the abstract. Well, there is apostasy, there is false doctrine, there are things that are a threat to the church out there somewhere, but never in my church, never in my circle, never in my denomination. I close a blind eye to all of that. I refuse to acknowledge that any such possibility could be there. I refuse to confront it. I refuse to deal with it, which, of course, only makes the problem worse. It only allows it to grow. Would that God's people had been faithful to recognize dangerous apostasy whenever and wherever it appeared, to confront it, to challenge it, to deal with it biblically, to root it out, so that the churches and denominations that are infected by it can be purified and can continue on based upon the doctrinal foundation upon which they were founded. Would to God that were true. But it's not. There are many people who are too willing to compromise, too willing to turn a blind eye, too willing to allow error to remain, and they are not willing to take a stand. That's the one problem, the one tendency, but we have to be honest to say that among those who are willing to take a stand, there is also the tendency to divide endlessly over non-essentials, to bicker and fight and divide over matters that have nothing to do with the gospel, nothing to do with fundamental doctrine, nothing to do with the person work of Christ, nothing to do with the authority and inspiration of Scripture, except this is the way I see it and take something and extend it again and again and again and again, like the Pharisees of old, and build a doctrine upon a doctrine upon a doctrine upon a doctrine, in other words, three or four steps removed from what the Bible actually says, but because it says this, then I think we should apply it this way, and we need to make this regulation, and we need to build this fence, and if you don't agree with me, then I'm not going to have anything to do with you. And we have people who are very prone to that, that are very active that way, and that is, listen to me, that is heresy. That is heresy. According to the original meaning of the word, divisions, factions, parties, camps, sects. People who are splittering and dividing unnecessarily. That's heresy. We tend to think of false doctrine as heresy. Well, this is false doctrine because it is unnecessary division. It is false practice. It is practicing a type of separation that is not warranted by the Word of God. And so on the one hand, you have those who just don't seem to be willing to ever separate. They don't see any actual occasions that make separation necessary, even though the Bible plainly says that believers and unbelievers are not to be yoked together in the same organization, in the same church, in the same denomination. The Bible is very clear about that. There can be no communion between believers and unbelievers, regardless of what they call themselves, regardless of their label. And so there are some who are unwilling ever to separate, even when they ought to, and that there are others who are separating endlessly when they should not, when they should be willing to get along with brothers and sisters in Christ and not insist upon total uniformity about everything, about every preference in regard to worship styles and hairstyles and dress styles, and on and on and on it goes endlessly. The divisions, the warring, the faction, the dividing, that's heresy as the word is originally defined, and that is a work of the flesh. Oh, that we would understand that. May God help us to. Because the works of the flesh come from the flesh and not from the Spirit. And so until next week, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.